recent studies by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops estimated that from the year 2021-2022, there were approximately 14,586 deacons active in ministry in the United States. That is a telling number, especially because they comprise 70% of all permanent deacons. That's a remarkable number. We look at it globally, but it also raises some important questions. For example, we can't forget, can we, about the role of our deacons? What does the church actually say about the purpose of the diaconate ministry? Are there strategies that we can develop to support our deacons? And why are deacons important today, as important today as they were in the first days of the church? So to answer some of those questions, I hope, is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, who's a Catholic speaker and evangelist, founder and director of DynamicDeacon.com. He's also the author of Our Life of Service, the Handbook for Catholic Deacons, and Behold the Man, a Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality and the Mass in Sacred Scripture. Deacon, welcome.
Thank you, Matthew. It's always great to be with you and with the Ave Maria family.
Yeah, so let's start with sort of a personal question. I'd love to hear more about your path to the diaconate, because this is obviously a choice that you made. You felt called to this, but how did it come to be?
Yeah, the short version is basically ever since I was about 9 or 10, I felt a pull, a tug, an attraction toward the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I remember when I first started serving Mass, I loved it. I loved being on the altar. I loved being up there with the priest. I remember one time in particular, it was my turn to ring the bells, and I looked at the Father elevating the Eucharist, and I said, I could totally see myself doing that. And that was fostered further in high school. I went to St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, New Jersey, and they had a Benedictine Come and See program, which I did all 4 years of high school, and I went to college and worked for a year and then joined the monastery. And, you know, was there for a while and really enjoyed my time there, but when I discerned out, and my wife got married, I still felt a pull, a tug. And it ended up being the diaconate. And this past November was my 20th anniversary of ordination to the diaconate.
Yeah, well, congratulations. How has that been? I mean, what has been this experience for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people, especially in my situation, Matthew, when they say, oh, what's the best part of being a deacon? They think I'm going to say, well, having, you know, 9 television series in EWTN or traveling to 25 countries around the world or writing books. But really, it's the great gift of how we get to be in people's lives. You know, one of the first funerals I did was for a 5-month-old baby, crib death. And the parents asked me to give the homily at the funeral. And not only was it difficult to write a homily like that, but just when you look at the casket, I remember thinking, I've never seen a casket that small before. You know, or when a woman's husband is dying and father's not there and she asks you to be with her. And, you know, I sat in that hospital room with this amazing woman of faith and was there when her husband took his last breath. You know, and she looked at me and she goes, is he gone? And I said, yes, and he's gone to be with Jesus. And we just knelt there and prayed. It was just, I mean, beautiful things like that. Or even right now I'm at the University of Mary giving a series of lectures this week. It's their kind of Catholic Social Justice Week. And after one of the students came up, I just talked to them about forgiveness and mercy. And it's just awesome. That, I think that's the greatest gift.
Yeah, and obviously, this is something that has the support of your family, but talk about that, too, because that's often overlooked as well.
Yeah, see, the thing is that it has to be about balance, and the priorities always have to be, and it's not just for the diaconate, for any man, right, who's a husband, father, deacon, priest, relationship with God, family, and then everything else after that.
Right.
But the relationship with God has to come first, because some people say, oh, I'm surprised you put your family first. I said, look, if I'm not right with God, I'm no good to my wife and kids. And a priest, if he's not praying every day, if he's not saying Mass, if he's not going to adoration, if he's not saying the rosary, maintaining his relationship with his spouse, the church, then he's no good to them. You see, so that has to come first. So the diacon, I mean, when you first ordained, you want to do everything, right? You've been, you felt the vocation call, and then you did all this training, and now you want to do stuff. But you always have to maintain that balance. And for me, what keeps the balance is my wife. So I basically just listen to her. And that's not just, you know, just a shout out there for all the wives that are listening.
Right.
Really, I truly believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit speaks through my wife, speaks to her heart. So if I don't listen to her, I'm a fool, you know, because she's the one that helps me to keep balance and perspective. If she says, I need you home, then guess what? I'm home. You know, and I don't argue with her, oh, you won't let me be Deacon Harold this weekend. No, she needs me to, I'm there, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's about balance and perspective. In fact, being a deacon has helped me to become a better husband and father.
How so?
Well, see, the whole thing is that the church looks at men for the diaconate because they're already serving well. Remember, diaconia in Greek means servant. They're
yes.
already serving well in their family, so the church says, I wonder if this man is called to take these gifts and share them with the entire church. So it's basically a symbiotic relationship. Because I'm serving well in my family, I'm using these gifts to serve the church, and by serving the church well, I'm able to take those gifts, especially the sacramental gifts of the church, cooperating with that grace, back into the life of my family. So it's just a beautiful cycle. And it's covenant relationship, right? Covenant is about breaking yourself open and pouring yourself out in love, and Christ giving himself back to us in the beauty of those sacraments. So,
yeah.
Again, sacrament of marriage, sacrament of holy orders, right? So it's a beautiful relationship between the two.
So I mentioned at the start of our conversation that there are almost 14,586 deacons who are in, or have been in active ministry. That comprises a large majority of the world's permanent deacons. Why is the diaconate so popular here in the United States compared to other countries?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a couple of things going on. In fact, it's very interesting. I mentioned earlier, Matthew, I've been to 25 countries. One of them I've been to four times is the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very Catholic country. The only country I've never deaconed in. So you would think, hold on, you would think the Philippines for sure, but they see that there's some places that feel they don't need deacons because they have enough priests. See, and what that tells me is they don't understand the diaconate. See, in many places, the diaconate is a stepping stone to the priesthood. So you have transitional deacons. Those are men.
Yeah, that's important to stress. Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we're all deacons. There's only one diaconate, but it's under two forms. Like the Mass, there's only one holy sacrifice in the Mass, which is the ordinary form, extraordinary form, but it's one Mass. Kind of same thing with the diaconate. There's transitional deacons, those men who are deacons but will go on to the priesthood, and then there's guys like me who are will remain deacons after ordination and then not go on to the priesthood. So in some countries, they believe that, well, you know, we have enough priests, we don't need deacons. But to me, they don't understand the diaconate, because the diaconate is there to help serve and support the ministry of the bishop and the priest. In fact, it goes all the way back to Numbers, book of Numbers, chapter 18. Very clearly it says that you have the high priest and the priest who are the Kohen, who are the sons. And then you have the Levites who are to serve the priest and the high priest. It even says you are not to go to the altar or use any of the vessels of the altar because you're not the priest or the high priest, but you're there to serve them. So it's very clear. In fact, that reading is used a lot at diaconal ordinations. And so there's a beautiful distinction there. So in the United States, I think that we see the diaconate differently, even though I believe it's still in its infancy. We still see the role of diaconate as an extension of the priest and the bishop in the world. Right? So
right.
Priests primarily, I'm not exclusively, but primarily mm-hmm. are in parishes. But the work of extending the gospel beyond the parish into the wider community, that's the job of the deacon. So that's why even when a pope says Mass, the deacon reads the gospel, because we're ministers of evangelization. We bring that message out into the world, and then when people are ready, we bring them back to the priest. Just like the paralytic on the stretcher, right? They brought him to Jesus. Our job is to bring the message of the gospel into the world and then bring the people back to church, back to the sacraments, back to the priest.
Yeah, so what are some of the strategies? I asked this question earlier that we can develop that will bring support to our deacons.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is I'm not going to kind of disingenuous plug, but my book really explains, and a lot of people have told me, even wives, men that are discerning, or wives of deacons, telling them how helpful the book was for them, and even for lay people to understand the diaconate better. Because most people just see deacons up at the altar on Sunday. Oh, yeah, he's kind of like a mini priest. He's just like a priest, so he can't say Mass or hear confessions. No. I mean, that's functionally, but that's not spiritually what the deacon is. So really just get to understand what the diaconate is about. And it's really that connection, that nexus between the kind of one foot in the secular and one foot in the sacred. You know, and a deacon is kind of like that bridge between the two. So really understanding what the deacon's role is particularly outside of Mass. You know, because, again, most people just see the deacon at the altar, but they don't see him at the hospitals, in the prisons, in the nursing homes or assisted living communities, or at the gravesite during the burial or those kinds of things, you know. Really being the extension of Christ and the service ministry of Christ in the world, looking for opportunities to bring the gospel, making the bishop aware that, guess what, there's a need here. You know, and this is how I propose that we fill this need. You know, and so the deacon is really the eyes and the ears of the bishop in the culture.
Yeah, and to that, there's this idea or this mistaken idea sometime of deacons as being unimportant in parish life, in part, I suppose, because many people around the world don't see them very often. But you're stressing here the importance of the work in the parish every day.
Yes, and, you know, I talk about this in the book, Matt, because sometimes there's tension, right? So some priests will say, well, why do we need a deacon? We got all these lay people doing stuff. You know, and so they don't, again, they don't understand. They say, well, you know, we're supposed to empower lay people, and the diaconate is a threat to lay ministry. But if you read Pope Paul VI's motu proprio, reinstituting the diaconate in 1967, he says that the diaconate is there to support lay ministry, right, to upbuild lay ministry, not to compete with it. And so I think priests need to understand what the diaconate is and how to use the deacons in their parish as an extension of the ministry, especially outside of the parish. The priest can't always be in the world, but that's where the deacon is. You know, so he exercises that ministry of leading, if you will, in a variety of ways, through charitable assistance, corporal and spiritual support of the poor and the vulnerable, administration of remote parish communities where the priest cannot always be present. So there's so many ways the deacons can be there as the teacher and the sanctifier and the leader outside of the sacraments of the church.
Yeah, it's stressing again the role of the deacon in the community, that you give witness to Christ in the workplace and families, but in the community. Well, Deacon Harold, I'm so grateful for your time today, and people can visit you at deaconharold.com. When we come back, I have a few final thoughts and a prayer relating to deacons. This is Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Matthew Bunsen, filling in for Al today.